Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Once again, my good friend Ciroc from the Weekly Review Podcast joins me. How are you? See, you talked over my introduction for you. Man, oh man.
But I feel like your audience probably knows me by now. You know what I mean?
I know, but you also got to remember, you know, this is something that took me a while to realize when it came to working in radio is that your audience, you're gaining new people all the mm-hmm. time. You're gaining people that maybe hasn't caught a show that you've been on.
So right.
Here, I'll give you an example. Jim Rome, the sports talk show host. Have you ever listened to him before?
Yeah, he has the Jim Rome. Well, does he still have that show, Jim Rome is Burning or something like that?
Yeah, well, I think he does it on like HBO or Showtime now. Like, have you noticed Ooh. How a lot of these people are like Desus and Mero? Did you ever watch them?
So they were like one of the reasons why I even got into like any type of broadcasting. So I used to watch them on where were they on before Showtime? Vice. That's what it was.
Yeah, they were on Viceland.
And then they got like a big check or something, and then they switched to Showtime, and then like it was so, it's like, I still like them, but their show is just so like kind of shitty on Showtime, to be honest.
It's different. It's different because they only do it a couple of days a week now. Weren't they doing it like Monday through Friday when they were on Viceland?
Yeah. Yeah. It actually almost seemed like it was every day, but you know, what's weird about their show though. It's like when they were doing it on Viceland, it was just them two, whoever they were interviewing. And then like, obviously the camera people. But when they put them on Showtime, they have like a live studio audience.
Well, they got a woman that's kind of like asking them the questions and stuff now.
How do you feel about that? Like a mediator?
I don't really, really like it that much. But I have you ever wondered what the chick looks like?
I've never seen her.
Yeah, you'll have to, after we get off, you'll have to check her out. She's not bad looking.
I don't know, man. If she was good looking, they definitely put her on camera.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Who's your favorite out of the two, Desus or Mero?
Man, you know, I like them equally both. I think they just good together. That's what I'm. But I would say Mero. If I had to choose.
I forget. Wait, Desus is the now one is like Cuban or like I can't remember.
He's I think Haitian.
Yeah, Haitian. Yeah. I think Haitian. And Desus. Now Desus is the darker skinned guy. Right.
Yep.
I think he's funnier.
You think he's funnier?
Yeah, I really do.
I think the other one's funnier. I say this. I think Desus is a little bit more intelligent. I think Mero is just like you can like take his quotes and make them memes type deal. You know what I mean? Like what he says is silly, but it's memorable.
Do you think a lot of that stuff is written or do you think a lot of it is improv?
I think
like what we do, like us getting on, we really don't do any show prep. We just get on and just start bullshitting.
I think it's improv. I think they have like an outline.
A direction.
Yeah. But like, I think most of it is just improv. And if they ever have like a day where they just can't really think of nothing, they probably just have like a script or something they can read off of.
So I know, look, I talk a lot about the Olympics and stuff. I love events that happen every 4 years, you know, like World Cup, Olympics, winter and summer, you know, like some of these like confederations in soccer, they do their confederation like UEFA, which is Europe.
What was the soccer one they just had?
So they had UEFA and then they just had the American one, which is CONCACAF, which is really, really.
That's how you pronounce it. I always wonder how you said that.
Yeah, CONCACAF. But that's Canada, America, Mexico, and all the Caribbean.
Okay, so basically just Mexico and all the Caribbean.
Yeah. It's usually, I mean, I don't think anybody else has won it except Mexico or the United States. It goes back and forth. But
really?
Yeah. USA ended up beating because it's probably one of the weakest soccer confederations, because you have all of South America, which, you know, they're good. And right. then you got Europe and then you got Asia. You know what? Asia might be a little bit more like on the same level as CONCACAF. But I just love these events that happen every 4 years.
What if that was like the way they, like, you know, they made policies on immigration, like you had to play for it, like it'd be like a soccer tournament. Yeah. Mexico versus USA. Mexico wins, they get, like, you know, I don't know, a free pass for a month or so.
Did you ever watch that documentary? And you should. It's called the Two Escobars, or it might be the Two Pablos, but anyways, you know, Pablo Escobar, the big time drug uh-huh. dealer at one time, drug kingpin, he was Pablo Escobar. And on the Colombian soccer team, there was also a guy by the name of Pablo Escobar.
Oh, man.
No relation at all. But the first game, because they were playing in America, this is in 94 uh-huh. when America last hosted the World Cup. And this guy, Pablo Escobar, ended up scoring an own goal. Like, which means, like, he accidentally kicked the ball in to his own goal.
Air quotes, accidentally in air quotes. Yeah, right. Did this shit on purpose.
He died. He was murdered a week after the World Cup when he came back to Colombia.
It's just a coincidence, right?
No, Pablo Escobar pretty much was a big-ass fan of soccer. And I'm sure he was kind of like, fuck that, man. I don't want the guy with the same name as me walking or breathing right now.
Yeah. Didn't that speaking of that, like, what is the chick from, you're talking about the Olympics, is recently that she was like facing like prosecution when she got back to her country or something like that? And
the chick from Belarus or something. And it's one of the countries that used to be a part of Russia.
Okay.
But like, she spoke ill will against the government, and you know, you're not, I guess that's a rule, like they don't have freedom of speech, like he ain't allowed to say shit bad about the government. And she was like afraid, and she wanted asylum to Poland.
Uh-huh. They gave it to her?
Yeah, they gave it to her. Yep.
Yeah, but like, does she not have like family back home? Like, you just go to the Olympics and your life changes forever.
Well, yeah, but they might just be like, all right, bitch, since you ain't coming home, we're gonna murder your family while we're at it now.
Yeah, that's why, like, if you're ever gonna be like international, like, I don't know, terrorist or ever be accused of treason, make sure you don't have like any family members. Like, you have to be like literally a lone wolf for real.
Uh-huh. But the reason I wanted to bring up the Olympics, and this is something that I think me and you need to start doing, is for the first time in the Olympics is rock climbing. Like, and not like on the side of a mountain. I know we've talked about rock climbing before and stuff, but mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, man, sometimes just lifting weights can just become a little tedious and boring sometimes.
What? Never. I never get bored lifting weights.
Okay, but all right, but you're also jacked as fuck. But I mean, I'm starting to, you know, get starting to see a lot more results now, because you do plateau sometimes.
Right. I know. You see, like, even your profile picture for the podcast, you get your shirt off, you jacked.
Oh, I did that on purpose.
The album cover.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was kind of like a joke picture because I took it in front of my shitty ass PT Cruiser. But I worked out hard as hell before I took that picture.
Yeah, but the PT Cruiser makes it seem, you know, gives off that vibe that, like, you know, hey, look, I made it big, but I'm still humble in a way as well. It's like, wow, that guy's still driving a PT Cruiser. He's a cool dude I would hang with.
I mean, you knew me when I was out of shape. I mean, I'm actually, you know, from what I look like, you know, because I also have lanky ass arms too. It's harder for people with lanky ass arms to, you know, build bulk. You see what I'm.
You ever thought about doing like boxing or something? Like maybe some fight training? Because you got length. If you're tall, what are you, like 6'1", right? 6 foot.
Yeah, I'm 6.5, almost. Six. You know, 6'1".
Okay, so average. If you got long, you got long arms. I mean, you should think about boxing, man. That reach is deadly.
Oh, you know that I actually did do an MMA fight one time.
It was against a chick, right?
No. Oh, it was, all right. Shit, so the owner of the Orlando Predators, Mm-hmm. You know, Tom and Dan, you know, Tom used to be Drunky the Bear because that was his gimmick. Like he wore a bear suit, like when he would go out for public appearances, but he did all these like stupid stunts and stuff. And the Orlando Predators owner, like, just loved us doing stuff at halftime. And he was like, hey, how do you guys feel about like actually MMA fighting each other? You
know, at halftime?
At halftime of the Orlando Predators arena football. So
it's like some Jackie Moon shit from a semi-pro.
Yeah, dude, we did so many things. Like I raced on a tricycle against somebody that made a homemade R2-D2. And we had to go the length of the field.
You got video of this?
Yeah. There is video of it.
You need to put it on the YouTube channel, man. Have like some archives. I'm like, hey, this is me racing. You know, this is me fighting this guy. This is me racing R2-D2 in the new Star Wars. Like, yeah, I post it.
Yeah. And then I was winning and this guy in a Darth Vader outfit came out and picked me up by my throat. Like he was a pretty big ass dude. And it was kind of set up wrestling style. But the MMA fight that I went against him, we were wearing those small ass gloves. You know, the MMA gloves, like, I mean, they offer you pretty much no protection at all.
Here's a cup.
Yeah. So we were going to plan it out. Like we were going to kind of like, all right, we're not going to go all out. You know, we'll pull some of our punches.
Right.
And then the owner of the Predators caught wind of it and was like, if I see you guys not going 100%, neither one of you are going to get paid. And we looked at each other like, yeah, we need the money. So no hard feelings on what happens. And he outweighed me probably by about 40 or 50 pounds. And with my long ass legs, I was able to keep him at distance. But man, he got on me one time. I'll have to send you a picture of it.
Did he have any experience or it was just like just two guys, no experience just going at it?
Just two guys, no experience. But he had what you like to call redneck strength.
Oh, okay. So he had like a crack pipe in his back pocket and just would not go down.
Somebody caught the best picture because when he knocked me out, like you caught the one because I guess I got a soft chin and you it's right when he connected with me. And it's like the perfectly timed shot, by the way. But yeah, that was pretty crazy. And I've wanted to now that I've gotten back into shape, I've challenged him on multiple occasions
like
like a rematch because I think I could take him now.
Well, I mean, have you seen him now? Like, I mean,
I just was on their show like a couple weeks ago.
I mean, I think we should set this up. I think we should do the rematch part two, but you got to take your glasses off. That's the only thing you got to
I didn't wear glasses at that time. So
like you need to mail him a postcard of your album cover. Like this is the rematch bitch. And just, you know, hey, set it up, same place. We'll call the is Orlando Predators still even a team anymore or no?
No, it's not. No.
Okay. Well, we got to find this owner guy, see if he'd still be able to sponsor this fight.
But I mean, you got to admit though. I mean, I got some striations going on the arm. You can see some of the veins.
Yeah, bro. I mean, you got to take advantage of it. You have to take advantage of it when you like. You know, it's how do I say this? If you don't take advantage, you'll lose it.
Oh, dude, I work out and I rest. I work out every day except Sunday. I take a day of rest on Sunday, because I'm religious.
I was about to say, okay.
No, I just a lot of people think working out every day is the thing. No, you actually do have to let your body, like, heal up a little bit because, you know, when you're building muscle, you're actually like tearing the fibers a little bit, aren't you? And working it up.
Yeah. And that's why you don't really, I mean, everybody's different, but rule of thumb is you probably don't want to go every single day. I mean, I do like a Monday and this works for me, but like a Monday, Tuesday, you know, Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday or maybe a Sunday, but I don't do like 5 days in a row. Because you got to rest, you got to get some sleep, you got to, you know, recover. It's too much too soon.
I start out with arms. I do tries, buys, and forearms, which I've always had pretty big forearms because of playing baseball. Because a lot of people don't realize this. The forearms is where one of the most important muscles in baseball.
Oh, baseball. I thought you were going to say something else.
No, but in baseball, because I played community college ball and stuff. You know, as a pitcher, That's where you get the rotation on the ball, throwing a curveball or a slider and stuff is stronger form.
How fast could you, at your prime, how fast could you throw the, I guess, your fastball?
Fastest ever threw was 81.
81?
Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot.
Is that fast? I don't know. Is that?
No. If you colleges and pros really don't even show you any attention unless you're hitting at least 90.
Really? Shit. Yeah. Is that like something you can like work up to, or it's just like some people have it and some people don't?
It's all mechanic. It really, really is, because, you know, you gotta use your legs, your shoulder, you know, and it's about getting muscle memory, doing your wind up and all right. that stuff, and just not having to think about that.
And not only that, you got to be accurate too. That's I think that's the hard part.
I was very accurate, because once you get that muscle memory, and a lot of people think I'm crazy when I say this, is that when you can imagine something happening, okay? So uh-huh. if you don't have to think about your mechanics, you look at where the glove is placed and you imagine the ball going into the glove. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was pretty accurate.
Well, damn, man. I don't know. I always try to compare myself, and I suck at. I can throw the ball pretty hard, but like I'd be hitting fucking batters left and right. Like I'd be out the first game.
Are you good at hand-eye coordination sports?
Yes and no. I guess it depends on the sport. You know, like. I mean, football, I'm pretty good, you know, as far as like catching and, you know, awareness. But I play like sometimes I'll play like in a softball league, like a beer league pretty much. And I don't know, man, when that softball comes flying like, you know, 80 miles an hour, man, I hesitate to want to even like stick my glove out. And I think that's because I just don't have any type of like baseball softball experience.
Dude, being a pitcher is scary as hell, especially when you're playing against people that are using aluminum bats
uh-huh.
because you get more pop off the ball. You know, if you let the major leaguers use aluminum bats, they would hit them out of the stadium every fucking
Wait,
time.
Wait, they don't?
No, they use wooden bats.
Oh, shit. What? Who uses aluminum? High school and college?
Yeah, high school and college.
Fuck that. I would just use wood. I mean, if you want to go to the pros, why use aluminum?
Yeah, I don't know. They just do it. And I got drilled one time so hard. I threw a fat pitch right down the middle, and the guy just laser beamed it right back at me, and it hit me right in the kneecap, and it hurt so fucking bad.
Now,
it was the worst.
Done some of those, like, you know, like I said, I don't have a lot of experience in baseball, but like, can't like certain like batters like intentionally like know where to hit the ball, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, some people are good enough to be able to do that and be able to, like, if you got a guy on first base, it's called a uh-huh. hit and run. So what you want to do is when he is like, as soon as the pitcher goes, the runner is running, and you want to hit it, like if you're a right-handed batter, you want to hit it to the left-hand side of the field, because the second baseman is going to second uh-huh. to cover the base for the steal. You see what I'm saying? It kind of opens up. A lot of people don't realize that there is a lot of strategy in baseball.
Right. I was just gonna say that. I mean, when you're watching, you're just like, man, this shit is boring as fuck. But you know, I just, even from playing softball, like, you know, I learned like little stuff like that. Like I was in the outfield and I was a terrible, I don't know, I guess catcher. Because we were playing softball with baseball gloves. If that makes any sense. So they seem kind of small on my hand versus that giant
gloves
fucking ball.
Gloves. So there's no such thing as softball gloves or baseball gloves.
Yeah, but no. I mean, like I had a tendency of like just catching it with like my palm, you know, and that shit would hurt.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, it would. So I remember one time, like when I was first starting, this will be, I know people don't want to talk about or hear about baseball, but the catcher on the team that I played for, well, on day one, the first, because I made varsity as a freshman.
Ooh.
I went up to the coach and I was like, yeah, coach, where you want me? Because I was all excited. I was like, wanting to show off. I went to the coach. I said, where you want me? He pointed to the dugout, pointed at the bench and
I
said,
want you in the parking lot.
Yeah, sit on the bench, because that's where your ass is going to be at all year in case I need you. And my first start in varsity baseball, before I even threw the first pitch of the game, he already had somebody warming up in the bullpen.
Oh, my God.
So you know how much confidence that bits into you whenever the guy, your coach, has already got somebody warming up before the game even starts?
Yeah, but like, so in baseball, they have the managers, right? Like, what is their actual, like, job? Because it's like, it seems like a very, like, everybody knows what to do type of sport. You know, you don't really need any coaching.
No. But, I mean, you have something called small ball. Uh-huh. Which in the National League, they play small ball because the pitchers have to hit.
Oh, why? The pitchers usually suck at hitting? Did you suck at hitting?
Yeah, it was not the greatest. But in the American League, you have a designated hitter.
Hmm. You would think they'd be good at hitting because they'd recognize pitches, right? Like, I'm a pitcher. I know what this is.
They're not taking as much batting practice because they're practicing their pitching. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess you're right. So
back to the rock climbing thing, man, I didn't realize, like, just watching, because it was the women, and I was, like, looking at some of the shoulder muscles, uh-huh, leg muscles and stuff. Like, you're basically using every single muscle, like, core and everything, to be able to climb up these walls.
Yeah, rock climbing is, like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been, like, to, like, here in Tampa, we have the, what's it called, Vertical Ventures. I don't know if that's, like, a nationwide thing, but, you know, it's indoor rock climbing, but it's pretty challenging. And like, I don't care how strong you are or how many days you work out or how good you look, like you said, rock climbing will humble the shit out of you. And you're like holding on to like a little 2-inch, you know, sliver sticking out of the out of the wall with like two fingers on it. That shit is insane,
like,
man.
Like, you gotta have strong hand muscles. I don't even know if that's possible. You know, like forearms, once again, you would that's probably pretty important. And they also carry this bag of chalk with them too, because you don't want sweaty hands when you're grabbing on to these grips, you know?
Yeah, and I was watching one of the events, and it was just like time rock climbing though. That's how they score it.
Well, they do three things. They do speed climbing, bouldering, which is you have less things to grab onto, uh-huh, and then they have a really tall wall that you have to, like, when you're going up, you have to carry a rope with you and clip on because it's so high.
See, that's kind of silly though. Like the speed climbing, right? Like, you've seen what was that documentary? Damn it, with the guy, he climbed like literally like a vertical wall. He's like the best climber in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. But what do you think about these people that do these like free climbing?
Yeah,
like,
free solo. That's what it was called.
Yeah, free solo. But I mean, I just don't get it. Like, I mean, I don't feel bad for any of those guys if they fall and die. Like, I mean, that's on you, buddy. No. I'm being dead serious. Why would you not? Because when you're rock climbing, you can nail these little things into the rock to be able to like help yourself.
Exactly. Just in case. Yeah. Do you think those guys, like, I'm not trying to sound like mean at all, but like they must have some sort of like,
well, they're,
I don't want to say disorder. No. Adrenaline is, I get that. Adrenaline junkies. Yeah. They do crazy stuff, but this is beyond like adrenaline junkie. This is, there's no room for error. You know what I mean? Like, you one slip, you're dead 100%.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah, and I just like, I feel like naturally, like every human, every normal human would have that fear. Like, you wouldn't even do it. Like, you would just be up there shaking the whole time. You know.
What is the most dangerous thing you've ever done? Like, have you ever done parachuting or skydiving?
I've been skydiving.
Bungee jumping. You have.
Yeah, it wasn't scary though.
You know, in DeLand, small little DeLand, which is here in Volusia County.
Uh-huh.
Probably about 10, 15 minutes from Daytona. And skydive the land. It's like the everybody loves to go to skydive the land because, you know, it's kind of cool when you're skydiving because you can see both sides of the state when you get up to that high. You can see the Gulf. You can see the Atlantic.
So I assume you've never been skydiving, right?
No, would never do it.
Okay, so we went like maybe like 2 years ago. And
was this your chick's idea?
No, but it was my idea. It was for Valentine's Day. And she had a good time. I kind of had a miserable time in the air, and I'll explain why. So I have like a little bit smaller ears than normal. Okay. Mm-hmm. So are I don't know. Dude, first of all, it's freezing cold up there.
I have a problem on all air flights I take. I can't get my ears to pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with me. I don't know what it is, but it's freezing cold up there, first of all. And like when we jumped out, like I wasn't scared that we were like falling to the earth. And, you know, I really trust the guy. But the entire time I felt like somebody was jabbing a pin in my ears. It was freezing cold. I couldn't hear anything. My hair is all over the place. And by
plus
the time
you got a dick and it rubbing up against your back, yeah. Because I'm sure it was a dude.
It's always a dude.
You were, yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. He's kind of like you're falling to your death, getting road doggy style.
Yeah, and like, and he's tapping me on my shoulder the whole time because you know they record it with a GoPro like on his wrist. He's like, look at the camera, and I'm like, I can't fucking hear anything, or you know, what I mean, like I'm just in pain as we're falling to the earth. Like if this was like an actual like death, like this would be terrible. But he pulled the chute and he's talking. I can't hear nothing. And you know they let you like kind of, you know, guide the parachute for like, you know, 5 minutes or so. And that was it, man. Like it's, you're so high up that like you're not even scared. You know, just like when you go in an airplane, you look out the window, like you're so high, it doesn't even seem like, you know, that you're capable of falling that far and dying. But it was fun, man. I definitely recommend it.
Have you ever seen these guys that have jumped out of the planes with no parachute and land in a net?
No, hell no. Why? Well, who does that? That's almost worse than the guy rock climbing with no equipment.
Yeah, I mean, one of the baddest movie scenes of all time. That, tell me you've seen the movie Point Break. Nope.
Wait. Who's in it? It sounds familiar.
Keanu Reeves. I think Swayze was in it as well too. It was a surfing movie. Remember, they were bank robbers and they would wear a mask with the president on their heads.
Kind of. I know. I've seen parts of it. I know what you're talking about. I just haven't watched the whole thing.
Yeah, Swayze jumped out of the plane with a parachute to get away, and Keanu doesn't have a parachute. He jumps out and
Why are they in a plane getting away from someone? I don't understand.
Well, Keanu, you know, got on the plane. And, you know, he is one of the worst movie lines of all time. And it just shows how bad Keanu's acting was. He goes to line, I am an FBI agent. And it's because he's trying to do this like surfer voice.
Yeah.
But no, like they're getting away. They all have parachutes. Keanu didn't have one. So he jumps out of the plane without a parachute and catches up to Swayze and grabs onto him. And, you know, while they're riding down, you know, Keanu's got a gun to Swayze's head and he's telling him, you know, pull the cord. And you know, he makes Keanu drop the gun because you would have to have one hand holding on to pull the ripcord because Swayze was like, I'm not pulling the ripcord.
Yeah, but that's like whoever wrote that movie, like. I get like when the production company or whatever, we'll say like Universal,
who greenlit that.
Yeah. So then the guy jumps out without a parachute and a gun and come on, what the fuck? That's not how that works.
Well, speaking of Keanu, have you ever watched any of the John Wick movies?
I've seen the first two. I haven't seen the latest one.
Have you ever seen his training videos? Because he wanted to. And if you also notice in the John Wick movies, they keep it real because if you ever notice in most movies, like it's like you have a cheat code where you have like unlimited ammunition.
Right.
They do like they keep it real. Like if you're using like a 9mm, you only got 12 bullets after your 12th shot. Like he's always reloading. If you go back and you notice that.
Do you think, you know, because first of all, Keanu Reeves is like actually like.
No, he's martial a great artist. Shooter.
No, I'm saying like just like his fighting, like he knows a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who do you think is like the best on screen, like martial artist?
Jackie Chan. He does all of his own stunts.
I'm saying fighting wise.
Well, I mean, if you're talking, I mean, Bruce Lee, probably. I mean, of all time.
Do you know who Donnie Yen is? I think he is.
No, I never heard of him.
Have you ever seen it's on Netflix, it's like Ip Man, like IP.
Okay, yeah. I know.
Yeah, he is hands down. I'm telling you, Tuttle, I know you've seen a gazillion fucking movies, but watch some of his movies and it'll literally, it won't be the same after that.
You want to know who was the worst? That guy,
Steven Seagal.
What is the Seagal? That's a joke, like for real.
Seagal is like what like a 6-year-old man thinks like how he would do in a fight. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme too really wasn't the greatest like real life fighter. He was more of like a bet, you know, is a ballerina or I don't know what they call it.
He's a ballerina.
Man. Yeah, yeah. He was like a dancer and stuff.
What? Oh yeah, he did have that one movie, right?
Yeah. Well, he had Bloodsport, Kickboxing, Time Cop. He did that one. He had a lot. I mean, in the 90s, Jean-Claude Van Damme was pretty huge at the time.
Yeah, he's like a C version of like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Do you remember in Bloodsport? I think it was Bloodsport, or it might have been Kickboxer. No, it was Kickboxer. Remember where they tape their hands up and they put glue on the outside and then they dip it in crushed up glass?
Oh, man. Now, that's be some cool shit. Like, if there was like a fighting league like that, I'd watch that. Like, if fucking Dana White was just like, we're taking it to the next level next year. And you just have those type of fights. McGregor.
You know, speaking of fights, you know, growing up in Volusia County, we got a big Spanish population. Have you ever been to a cockfight before?
No. Aren't they illegal?
Yeah, they are very illegal, but
why? They're chickens. We eat them and their babies.
I know. I don't get it, but like they'll actually put, you know, they already have those little barbs on the back of their feet and they'll actually put razor blades on those too.
Wait, sometime. So explain to me, because I know what cockfights are, but like
they have spurs on the back of their heel. OK,
like naturally or they're like put
naturally,
on there.
Naturally, okay. they have it. But then, you know, they make it interesting on some. They go put like blades on them
and dress them up, put like outfits on them.
And they're pretty goddamn brutal. Like I'm for real. Like they're pretty brutal. What about a dogfight?
No, I've never seen. I probably wouldn't even want to see a dogfight because you can. Like dogs are like, you know, that domesticated animal where like, you know, they're not fighting because they want to. You know what I mean?
I had a friend, his brother actually had he had a pit bull called Terminator, which was already a bad sign. They love to feed the pit bulls gunpowder in their food because it makes it crazier. No, I'm dead serious. Like they would mix gunpowder in with their food.
Wait. They put gunpowder in the dog food?
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe. Honestly, I think you're onto subtitle. I would be surprised if I see like some YouTuber, you know, some fitness YouTubers like, yo, I got this new, forget protein, forget BCAAs, forget all that shit. Pre-workout gunpowder is the new protein.
No, it just it didn't make them strong. It just made them more aggressive, you know, like so they it made them like really, really crazy. And, you know, they would always keep the biggest chain on them that they could. Just because they wanted, they were like, all right. And it wouldn't be like one of those regular dog chains. It would be like a chain that iron workers use to pick up steel beams and shit. And then you'll see some of them. But have you ever seen some of the pits? Like I saw this one dog, they had a tire like 18 feet up in the air and the dog like just basically parkoured off of a wall.
Oh yeah. I seen that. That wasn't a pit bull though. That was a, They look like pit bulls. They like the I mean they're like a guard dog breed. I just forgot
like a Rhodesian Ridgeback or something like that.
Yeah, they're like slender, but they're like really fast and they can jump really high.
All right. So one of the things I want to talk to you about, do you have any routines that you do on a daily basis?
Like brush my teeth and stuff?
Well, I mean, not simple like that. Just something that not everybody does.
Damn it. I was going to say,
I'll give you an example of what I do. Okay.
All right. Let me hear.
So I shower every day. Even if I don't have to poop, I try to poop before I take a shower.
You know, that's a toughie because, you know, I never want to poop and then shower immediately. You got to give your butt like cheeks, like a rest for a second.
Okay. But have you ever showered and then you're like, God damn it. I got to take a dump now. Like, you just showered and cleaned up.
Yeah. I almost want to, like, I think there's been times where I actually got back and showered again. Just because.
Do you wet wipes?
Yes. I don't have any now, but those things are, I mean, if you got a younger audience, and I know, like, you know, as a teenager, I've never heard of it, you know, early 20s, never heard of it. But I'm telling you, if you got a young audience, Tuttle, tell them wet wipes are the way to go.
Yeah, they really are. You moisturize, because if you have a really, really bad day where you're mm-hmm. pooping a lot, like mm-hmm. you will rub yourself raw a little bit.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll have one of those poops where it's like you got a magic marker sticking out of your butthole. Because every time you wipe, it's just like you wipe, you wipe, you wipe.
Like, did I just spread it more?
it's all over the place.
I know.
Now, do you shave your crack?
No. Hell no. I don't
Why
even.
Not?
How the fuck would I even pull that off? Like, somebody would have to do that for you.
No. You get in the catcher position, speaking of baseball, because your cheeks actually spread. You got to uh-huh. be careful. You got to be very careful and using. And I suggest not any of those cheap razors. You use like one of the Mach 5s.
No, bro. I'm not. Nope. Trust me. Plus, I already get like ingrown hairs. Last thing I need is ingrown hairs like around my asshole. I don't even want to know what that would feel like, you know.
African Americans do get more ingrown hairs right? I mean I get them occasionally.
I get them,
but my friend soul brother Kevin used to talk about getting shave bump all the time.
Yeah So like a lot of times people get it confused with like razor bumps, or you know, they say, oh, you're shaving the wrong way, or you know, some the typical responses. But it's just the nature of the hair, you know. It's mine is really curly, like around my like jawline and cheek. So the sharper the cut, usually the more severe, like the ingrown hair.
Now, do you use regular shaving cream, or do you use the gel or whatever?
Dude, none of that shit, man. None of that. I just use my trimmers, just because I don't really cut too deep. You know what I mean? I don't cut too sharp to where I would need like that type of protection.
Yeah, it gets really, really bad. Have you ever noticed, like, when you're younger, your poops, you really don't pay enough. You really don't pay much attention to it. Like, you're like, I got diarrhea. When you get older, like...
rewind. What did you say?
When you're younger, you really don't care that much about your poops. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you just said, oh, I got diarrhea. No big deal. Like, of course I care about my poops.
Well, but when you get older, like you're like, if you have it, like it's more important when you get older. If you get one of the poops where like one of the most satisfying things, I don't know if you can tell, but I can usually tell when I have a good poop, and I'm like, when I wipe, uh-huh. there's not going to be anything on the toilet paper. Like, have you ever been able to like, all right, that's
oh, yeah.
good poop.
Yeah, definitely. You can always say it's usually the morning, I feel like.
Yeah.
But then like sometimes I'll be at work. And we have like an upstairs bathroom, like it's not necessarily an employee bathroom, but it's like not the normal ones where the customers can use. And one of the worst feelings is a rush poop. I kid you not. Like we have like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I work with a lot of girls and most of them are very attractive. So imagine like sitting there taking a poop and like, and you know, when someone would knock just to see if someone's in there, the door's locked. Like instead of them like going back downstairs, going back to work, like they just wait there. They just wait outside the door.
And then you're like, oh man, they're gonna have to smell what I just
because I know.
Listen, I have firsthand experience of the stinky ass shit that you lay down.
Oh yeah.
And I'm it's sorry. Pretty bad. It is bad.
Oh,
it,
they know I mean, work too. They know. They were like, they'll say, Sirach, you in there? I'm like, yep. There's like, I'll be back in 30 minutes. I'm like, yeah, you probably should.
Now, have you ever had what I like to call the shit cork?
What is that?
Where it's hard at the beginning, and then once you get past that hard part, it's just like a napalm explosion.
Yeah.
Where it covers every square inch of the toilet.
It's like when you have like a beer, you just kind of shake it up and you pop the top and it just everywhere. But then like it feels so good, like you kind of put your knees up at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like a roller coaster ride, kind of. And we actually have a squatty potties here, you know, the ones you put your feet on. Those things are amazing.
People think they're bullshit, but it does really, really does help, because the way that regular toilets are, your body's not positioned
right.
correctly for you to, you know, release your bowels. I just say it almost sounded like I was like, release the hounds.
You know what? I feel like the asshole, the butthole doesn't get a lot of credit as much as it should, as far as like favorite, like most versatile body part, you know? It's up there with like the tongue, you know, like the butthole like has to deal with so much shit, and it expands, it gets smaller, it gets spicy. I'm surprised there's not like chapstick for your butthole.
I sometimes, I mean, I was back to the wet wipes. I get the ones with the aloe in them.
Oh, okay. All right. Because you get sunburn.
No, I don't know, man. It just, and also iron workers, you know, I was an iron worker for about 6-7 years. And sitting on the beams, the way that you're positioned, sometimes a lot of iron workers get hemorrhoids sometimes. And I got one, not a big one.
How is hemorrhoids caused? Just by sitting weird?
Well, yeah. Because the way you're sitting on the beam, the way you're straddling it sometimes. It's like a blood vessel that kind of like gets inflamed and kind of causes like a bump or whatever down
there. So it's like pimples then, I guess.
Yeah, okay. But I mean it doesn't go away though.
It
doesn't go away. And then like if you do wipe sometimes like too much, you will see some blood on the toilet paper.
Oh, that's kind of gross. This shit doesn't go away. Like what type of
you got to get it banded. Like the doctor, they put like a little rubber band around it. And
they put a rubber. How big are these bumps?
I mean, it's like a small little rubber band, you know, kind of like, you know, people that, you know, back in the day when you would get Afro Puffs or whatever, you know, those small little rubber band, they put those around there and they just kind of like die and they fall off.
Oh, God, that must suck. You figure you could just put like a Band-Aid on it. That'd be weird. Like, say you're like with some chick. And, you know, you guys get to going and you look down and it's like fucking rubber bands and Band-Aids all over. happened? I used to be an iron worker.
Well, mine's exactly centered right at the top. You know, like if I was on all fours, if I was a gay man and you were looking at it, it's right there. It's like right in the middle, right where the crack is.
Oh, my God.
And I called it my ass clit for quite a while.
Oh, my God. Like, I never met a guy with two dicks. He's just like a baby dick and a dick.
Did you read the story about how masturbation, men who ejaculate at least 21 times a month, slash their risk of prostate cancer?
No, but I guess, well, damn, that means I'm in the clear then for at least a couple years.
So do you think you nut at least 21 times a month?
Yes. Hell yeah.
What do you think your number is?
Probably in the 20s. But not what? I mean nothing ridiculous, like, you know, like 50, if that's even ridiculous. But yeah, like, I don't know, 25, 30. Well,
you gotta check. Okay, I don't at the moment, so I'm kind of having to, you know, take
so care of you're in triple digits is what you're saying.
Yeah. but what I'm saying though is like even in your relationship, like when was the last time you masturbated?
I don't know, maybe last week.
Okay, so you do sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every guy that's in a relationship or married or whatever, like they still do it. I mean, it's just something different.
How do you feel about some women that, because there are some women that feel like, okay, well, there must be something wrong with me. Why are you masturbating? Do you think that they're out of line by making that statement?
No. I mean, unless like your like sex life with whatever chick is like kind of in the dumps, then yeah, I guess that'd be somewhat a concern. But like if she's happy, you're happy, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little extra activity on the side.
Yeah, but I'm okay. Well, you got to remember, women, you got like that week of downtime for the monthly visitor.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Cause she's not on, she's on the, what the hell you call that thing?
On the pill?
No, I always call it the IED, but I think it's IUD. Yeah. I always call it improvised explosive device in a vagina.
That vagina will explode on you, you know, if you're not careful. Like, you know, did you ever see that, that movie with the guy, what the hell was it called? It won the Oscar. The guys that walk up and they have to like take apart those IEDs or whatever.
Oh, Hurt Locker.
Yeah, the Hurt Locker.
Yeah. Like,
those suits ain't gonna do a goddamn thing for you. In all reality, I mean,
no,
they actually do.
I mean, obviously you still get like concussed probably, but so I sometimes watch on YouTube the I think it's either GQ or some are Wired, and where they have like the experts like critique like movie scenes, and you know.
Oh, I read that in Jet magazine one time too. I you're right.
Yeah. So like, it'll save you, but like, you know, it's not perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
But you read that in Jet magazine? That still comes out?
That was a joke.
Oh, okay. I was like, damn, Jet magazine still comes out?
No. I mean, every once in a while I would read, because my mom used to get Reader's Digest all the time, and mm-hmm. and I would read that sometimes.
Read a lot? Are you a book guy?
No. Well, I mean, I read a lot because I'm constantly looking for news stories and stuff.
Yeah, but you don't like to talk about. You don't just go out like to the library or some shit.
And pick a book? Nah, no. No. Okay. I just, why? I mean, there's so many other things you could do with your life.
Besides read bullshit stories.
Yes. Like, I mean, I read enough when I'm reading just news stories. I mean, that's still reading.
Yeah, but are you enjoying it? Are you reading for like entertainment or just like, you know, like work, I guess?
I don't know. I mean, but you're also the guy that listens to audiobook. Books on tape. So
yeah, that's the best way
like
to do it.
Fucking read. Don't act like you fucking read anything either.
I gotta read the reviews before I buy it.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to make me like, oh, you don't read? No.
No, I was
you're not reading either. You're being lazy and fucking listening to it.
That's a rich way to read. That's a rich way to read. I just listen. I got time to read. I don't know how to pronounce that shit. Because I was watching some shit on Netflix that some lady Fran, I don't know. She's friends with Martin Scorsese. What's her name? You know it?
Fran Dresser?
No, Fran, like Fran.
Yeah, there's a Fran Dresser, the one that played the nanny, that had that annoying ass voice.
No, she's a, I mean, she might, I don't know. She's a writer. She used to be a writer for some magazine. And she's being interviewed by Martin Scorsese, and she was talking about reading, how nobody reads anymore, and you know, everybody's on their Kindles and fucking audiobooks. And I was just like, you know what? Let me ask Tuttle if he still reads, because he's up there in age. So we're like, you know, anything under 40, people don't read anymore. Over 40, you still read books.
No, no. I can't even tell you. Like, let me ask you. I know there's an age difference. What kind of books did you guys read in high school? Like the ones that were required reading, like Catcher in the Rye. Did you ever watch or read Catcher in the Rye?
No. What is that?
That was one of the, that was the first book that got me really interested into reading, because they
wait,
had
in high school. That was the first book you read?
No, it was like probably middle school at the time. But I mean, it was kind of controversial, because they would curse and there were racist words in the book as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Catcher in the Rye was one of them. And then To Kill a Mockingbird was another one.
But yeah, we had to read that one. Or we had to like popcorn read it. You know what I mean?
What about Huckleberry Finn? Did that offend you when they would like, what they would call Huck Finn's buddy?
No, I actually never read it. It wasn't required either.
I from what I remember, it was Injo.
Injo? Like Indian?
No, I'm not going to say the word. What, when white people say in?
Oh, in. I thought you were like saying like I-N. Oh, Injo? No. Oh, yeah. Shit. I was about to say it, too. I was just kind of about to put it together.
No, I mean, you could say it. You could say it. But I ain't saying it. But what I'm saying, it was Injo.
Yeah. Why did they make you read so much like racist books back then?
Because I grew up in the South.
I know. Sorry. But like, what was the lesson in all these books?
I don't know.
We read To Kill a Mockingbird, and then we had to do the what was the other one? The Lord of the Flies. I remember that.
What about A Wrinkle in Time? No.
No. Is that a movie?
Yeah, it was a movie, but it was a great book. What about the Chronicles of Narnia?
No, I remember watching it though. I'm a big visual guy. You know what I mean?
The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. You never read that one.
Never read it. I saw the movie though. Never read it.
Once again, books on tape.
The only books I used to read was you remember Animorphs and Goosebumps?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are the ones, R.L. Stine books, those are the ones I'd read, because they were like, always like right around 100 pages. And, you know, they actually had like a good storyline versus reading fucking, you know, some situations that would never happen in real life.
You were before we came on, and this will be the last thing. You were talking about what you've eaten today. You were talking about eggs and protein shake and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been through those moments in our life where like we probably didn't eat the best. Once again, you know, the same friend that I was talking about, that brother that had the pit bull, like I would during the summer, I would stay with him for like a week at a time. And like just an egg sandwich. Like if we could find one fucking egg in the fridge, we'd be like, hell yeah. We'd scramble that bitch up, put it on. And like, we wouldn't even toast the bread.
You can't do one egg though. That's the thing. Like you need like, so like if I open the egg carton and there's like one or two eggs, I won't eat them. Cause I have to have like a minimum of like four or five.
How do you prepare your eggs?
I switch it up. Sometimes I do a scrambled. Sometimes I do it. It's the like omelet, and then sometimes I do the sunny side up.
I prefer
scramble though. Scramble is probably the easiest.
You want to know a trick? You know, because a lot of people, you know, like over easy, like when you have to flip it or whatever. If you have a pan that has a top in it, get the pan really hot, let the egg cook, then pour a little bit of water in there, and the steam itself will cook the top of the egg for you.
Really?
Yeah, it will.
I might try that tonight, actually. I said tonight. Yeah. Wow. Am I just eating eggs all day? I might try that tonight.
No wonder your shit.
For my fourth breakfast tonight.
Your cholesterol must be through the roof.
Oh, do you put milk in eggs sometimes? Doesn't that make them more fluffy?
I do, but do you know? All right. I know one last thing. You know the chef Gordon Ramsay, right?
Yeah. He's an asshole, right?
No, but away from it, he's a really, really nice guy.
Oh, okay.
Like we've talked about this. The greatest at their jobs and what they do are usually assholes. Like
Yes.
They are. And one of the first things, like when he is interviewing new chefs, he says, make me scrambled eggs. That's like the test that he gives them.
Uh-huh.
And he will cook. And the thing is, low heat, you go 20 seconds on, 20 seconds off, but you're continuously stirring. Because that's where you get the fluffiness. Then when the eggs start to harden up a little bit, you know, kind of firm up, that's when you add the seasoning to it. Because a lot of people like to add seasoning to the eggs. Like, you know, salt, pepper, whatever you would like to add
to
it. So, because it turns the egg a different color. And then you add a little bit of creme fraiche, but not a lot of people have creme fraiche. You add just a little bit of sour cream to it, mix that in at the end.
So yeah, but at some point, like, it's not even eggs anymore. You're eating just fucking a whole bunch of condiments mixed together.
Well, you don't season your eggs.
I mean, I'll put like a little bit of cheese. That's it. Sprinkle some cheese.
That's worse, man.
I'll put a little spam on top. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe I do. I don't know. I don't really think about it, but usually it's a little bit of cheese.
But no, that, I mean, something that simple. That's how he tests out chefs.
Really?
Says, make scrambled eggs. Yes.
But is it like, okay, so Gordon Ramsay, I get it. He's a world-class chef, but like at some point, is it just opinion-based? You know what I mean? Like if he ate it, he didn't like it, but I liked it. Does that make him a terrible chef?
I mean, he's got all these Michelin stars.
Yeah, but he probably fucking paid for those. You know how it is. Yeah, like he is an asshole though, so he must be pretty good at it. And what if that's how they conducted like future interviews? Like you apply to be a CEO somewhere, first question they ask you, like, so why do you want to work here? You say fuck you, and they're just like, all right, you're hired. You're fucking hired. This guy's an asshole. He'll lead.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen the shows? Like he does the show on YouTube where he cooks with his family.
Uh-huh.
And he's a really, really nice guy. Like he is a tremendously nice guy.
All right, I'm gonna try it out. What restaurant chain does he like? Is he like
Well, he's opening up a restaurant in Orlando. Like it's gonna be one of his first restaurants in Central Florida. And I forget. Oh, it's a fish and chips restaurant.
Okay, so is that like, so where's he normally like located? Cali?
California, New York. He's got restaurants like throughout the whole world.
Okay, I want to go to one of his restaurants.
And have you ever watched his show where like he will go from the beginning process of actually having to catch what he's going to cook, the process of cleaning it, carving it, and then feeding it. Like he went to an army base and he went out hog hunting, and had to kill the hog, you know, clean
it. He killed it?
Yeah, he killed it. Yeah.
Oh, shit. He's a real deal, dude.
And cleaned it and everything. Cause you would think a Brit wouldn't know how to shoot a gun.
He'd just be yelling the whole time. Stop running. Stop running, hog. Stop running. Chase him with a baton.
But he fed a whole army platoon. Like I think they bagged like three hogs and then he went to Louisiana and had to go out and catch crawfish and crabs and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
But people do that shit all the time. You know what I mean? Like it's not like he's.
But he's going through the whole process. A lot of those chefs don't go out and actually like harvest the stuff that they're cooking.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but that's just, you know, that's anybody can do. Well, not anybody can do that, but anybody can go fishing, you know, or anybody can go hunting, you know.
Man, are getting a little southern, man. Did you hear the way you said
hunting?
You didn't. When the way you said hunting, you didn't even put a G on the end of it. It was like hunting.
Listen, I don't give a damn if he's from England, British, New Hampshire. He can go out there and do whatever he wants. But I tell you what, you come down here south of the Mason-Dixon line down here in southern Florida. I tell you what, I wrap up a hog. I find me some fish and we be eating good for a good week or so. How about that, Mr. Ramsey?
Speaking of killing hogs, I don't know if I ever told you this story. And I do believe it's true. I know we have. One of my greatest sports facts is Bo Jackson killing hogs with rocks.
I believe that. 100%. I believe that. It was that from watching the 30 for 30.
Yeah, because his arm was so strong. Like he would gun down people from the warning track in the outfield and would not even one hop it. Like he would just like on his flat feet, throw that bitch and it would hit the catcher right in the mitt and gun people down. Like it was crazy. So I'm like, yeah, I believe that Bo Jackson could kill a hog with a rock.
That's insane. Like just to be like a freak natural athlete like that, you know?
I still think if he doesn't break his or hurt his hip, he would have been the greatest running back of all time.
I don't know. I don't know, man. That's a hard.
To have that size and speed, they said he could almost run as fast as Deion.
Yeah, but like, it's always a what if, you know? It's like, I think that's what's the big difference between like the actual greatest of all time, like a Michael Jordan, right? Because like, you know, he proved that he was the greatest. From beginning to end, pretty much. And I think a lot of times when we see like a Bo Jackson or who's another one.
I mean, back to baseball. Do I think, you know, everybody says that Babe Ruth was the best home run hitter or like Lou Gehrig or any of the, you know, Pete Rose? Like if they had to face the pitchers that are playing baseball right now, they would get sit down every single like time.
Oh, hell yeah. They were playing against like pitchers. Like if I was a pitcher, you know what I mean? Like underhand, just throwing it underhand to be safe. Just knocking home runs left and right.
Yeah, but the ball players were also like smoking cigarettes and drinking beer in the dugout.
Right, and then get drafted like a week later to go to war real quick, come back, finish the season.
Yeah. All right, Chirag, tell people how they can check out your podcast.
You can check it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, it's Facebook and YouTube. It's The Weekly Review. You can also search this by my name, Serac, S-E-R-A-K. I know, unfortunately, not like the liquor, but I promise I taste way better. Check it out. We're actually doing an episode a little bit later on this afternoon, and I'll have that posted tomorrow.
All right, man. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I appreciate you coming on.
No problem, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Serac. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3663.
3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds.net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.